Okay, let's begin. Rabbi Yisrael, let's begin. Rabbi Perek Chav Tes, Pasik Chavav. We are continuing describing the Chizkiyo HaMelech. Chizkiyo HaMelech, he takes over from his father Ochaz. Father Ochaz was a Rasha. In fact, one of the Midrashim I forgot to mention, and I'm sure you'll know, is that he dragged his father's coffin, or his bier, how you pronounce it, on a rope in the street to show publicly that that although Ochaz was his father was a Rasha, was a very wicked man, and he's not deserving of any honor. And he publicly disgraced his father, and this is one of the things that Chazal were very pleased that he showed, that he's making a clean break from the ways of his father. He comes into office the first day of Nisan. He cleans the Beis Hamikdash. He opens the Beis Hamikdash. He instructs the Kohanim and Levim to come out of hiding, as we're going to see later on in this Pesukim, in the next parak, that many of the Kohanim and Levim that were Shomer Torah Mitzvos were in hiding. He asked them to come out of hiding and to clean the Beis Hamikdash, and he does so. He then creates a bris with Hashem. He makes a speech and he tells everyone to do tshuva, and he appoints all of the officers, all of the Levim, to their positions of Shira, to sing Shira, and they bring a special set of korbanos. We discussed yesterday four different types of animals. The machlokes in the Mefarshim was this the Seirei Avodas Kechavim that is mentioned in the Torah, or was this a special Chayrasha? Each of the four different types of animal were brought in a set of seven, which is the number seven. Is that just the Harasha, a significant number, or is it referred to the seven Shvatim of Klal Yisrael that remained in the land? The Levim are now in position. The Korbanos are being offered. Pasuk Chava, Vayamdu HaLevim B'Chlei David. They stood B'Chlei David, V'HaKoyhanim B'Chad Tzitzreis, and the Koyhanim stood with their symbols, and they began to sing. Vayom, they stood in position. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayomer Chizkiyo l'halois ha'ilo l'hamizbech, to bring up the oil to the mizbech. They should now ascend, and the oil shall be brought to the mizbech. Uve'eis hechil oil, and when the oil was brought, when they began to offer the oil on the mizbech, hechil shir Hashem, the song of Hashem began, and the trumpet players, the Kohanim blew the trumpets, the Alidei Klei David Melech Yisrael, and also it was accompanied by the musical instruments of David Melech Yisrael. Some learned that these were the actual instruments that David himself made. David was a craftsman. Not only was he a musician, not only was he a composer, he also actually made special, unique instruments, and this is one of the psukim that I once actually went to I accompanied one of my friends. He went, a violinist, so he actually went, he bought a violin in this shop in Manhattan, where this is supposed to be a famous person, I don't know his name, who makes violins. No, Stradivarius. He got me curious with Stradivarius, but he actually is fascinating to go to his shop, a little shop in the Homer Wall, to see how he makes violins. And David seems that he was also an expert in making utensils. So it says, "Vayde Klei David Melech Yisrael." Some of the Farshim learn that David himself actually was the one who went and invented and made these musical instruments to accompany his compositions, and they were preserved all of these years from the time of David, about 200 years at least. And now they're being used. They've been taken out by Chizkiyo. They're going to be played. Chizkiyo, if you read very carefully, Pesukim, everything Chizkiyo does, he views himself as a reincarnation of David. And he, in fact, plans to outdo David by bringing Mashiach. Pasuk of Ches. What?
David is his mentor.
But it's more than that. It's as if he is David. Yeah, of course. He was the Ben Achaben. Okay, he's the Ben Achaben. But David's goal was to bring Mashiach through Shlomo HaMelech. That did not happen at that time. And now many things happened in the past years. And Chizkiyo HaMelech, he has a place in history, he feels, where he will accomplish what was meant to be accomplished years ago. Unfortunately, no, that did not happen. When this occurred, everyone, when they play the trumpets, the entire assemblage bowed. The Ashir Mishoirer, the song was played, the song was sung, or was V'hachatzotzreis Mechatzrim. The second Sadi is to be, it's a Krivach Siv, and the trumpet players, they blew the trumpets. There appears to be much repetition. We keep on mentioning that these things happened. Hakol, everything was done. Everything was done until the oil was finished, they finished burning. Until the oil, this entire ceremony continued until the oil was completely consumed on the surface of the Mizbeach. After the oil was finished, assuming the oil, we assume refers to the Bokar, the Elim, and the Kvasim. L'chai referring to those 21 animals that were the oilos, if we learn like most of them first on the page, that it was Hayro Ashah. So the Ezim were the Avot Achatos, and the oilos, the three different animals, each one was seven apiece, 21 animals were oilos, so while they were being offered and being consumed in the Mizbech, all of these things were happening, the shoe was being played, and the trumpet players were, and the people, the Kohanim, were blowing the trumpets. Pasik Chavtes, Uchalos Lahalos, after they finished bringing up the oil, Karu Hamelech, the king bowed, V'chol Hanimtzim Ito, and everyone with them, Vayishtachavu, and then they went down on their face. So it's a two-step process. First is Kriya. Kriya is when you bend on your knees, and then the next step is Ishtachavu, is when you put your head down, you go a step further. Pasuk Lamed. What?
Maybe the king only Karu, and all the people around him were Ishtachavu.
But then it would say, V'chol Hanim Simito, Hishtachavu. It should then say, I think it's a Hishtachavu. V'chol Hanim
Simito is going under Nimsa'im.
It appears, you might be right, but there are different ways, the psukim are complex, there are many different ways to weave the psukim, but I think the simple grammar of the pasuk, if it would be everyone with him bow down, chol hanim tzim imo ito hishtachavu. The fact that it says vayishtachavu, there's a vav, it's a break, it seems to be going back on everyone together.
It can't be, because you can't say karu hamelech, you can't separate that, it's in the plural.
Okay, I'm not sure then. What does the Mitzuda say? Is there any indication in the Mitzuda? No, there is no Mitzuda. V'chol hanimsim ito, v'yishtachavu, and they bowed. Okay, yishtachavu generally is an expression which comes after Kriya. Kriya is...
So all the people together.
He served as an example. He started the process. Everyone followed, took his lead. He bowed. V'chol hanim tzim ito. And then after, they all were on their knees, they all went the next step and they bowed their head onto the ground. It's a two-step process. You first fall down on your knees, and then you bend your head on the ground. You don't actually, the whole shaylin on Yom Kippurim, I don't know what everyone here does, does your head actually touch the ground?
That's a third step.
Yeah, that's a third step.
The Neuflim Alpen, the Neuflim.
Are you calling?
Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay, I don't know the answer. You're right. Okay, there are different steps. Kairim Al. Okay, that could be that. Kairim means you're flat. You're completely lying flat. When you're Ishtachavu, after Kriya seems to be where you're not flat. You're on your knees and then your head is bent. Neuflim Alpenehem. Could be something completely different where you're completely flat. That's right. Kida, what's Kida? Kida is where you don't bend your knees. It's impossible to do that. Mm-hmm. Kida is where you just stand, your knees are not bent, and you bend your back and your head all the way as far down as you can possibly go. It's very dangerous. That's called Kida. Basheva, it says, did Kida. Basheva was able, maybe women have a, their anatomy is different, they're able to do these things better than men. What? Women can do Kida better than aerobics and yoga, all of these type of things. Maybe women can do more.
You can do it too.
You practice.
Stand flush against the wall and try to bend over and touch your toes. You can't do it. A man can't, but a woman can't.
Ah.
You're up in a rehab center.
So you see a woman can do perhaps more. Okay, let's go further. Whatever the case is, it's not clear. There are different levels of bowing down. Pasuk Lamed. Let's try to cover some ground. Pasuk Vayemer Yechizkiyahu HaMelech VeHasarim Al HaLevim. Chizkiyahu HaMelech said, Yechizkiyahu HaMelech VeHasarim, and not only the king, but VeHasarim LaLevim. They instructed the Levim LeHalel HaShem, to give praise to Hashem. Now there's a difference between saying Shira and Halel. Now that they have concluded They have concluded the bring of the korbanos, which was accompanied by song. Now they're going to give hoidah, thanksgiving.
So this is like tishbachas.
Well,
halal
v'sishbachas. There are different
suge de zimra.
So we had a discussion. There are two different levels of suge de zimra. There is the observation, misaper and misader. Is it you're someone else, and then this personal, the personal expression of praise? You have to build up from being misaper to hoidah of the personal. So here it could be that's what it means as well, that the shira is more in the category of an observation, of being misaper, let us join in what other people have praised Hashem. Now we come to the next level where it's personal, where we have an obligation to personally thank you, Hashem, for what you have done for us. So the king gave instruction to the sodim, and the king and the son gave instructions, l'aladim, l'halel, l'Hashem, to give praise to Hashem, b'divrei David, through the words of David, v'osaf ha'chayzeh, and osaf the Asaf the Chayzeh. Asaf was the words of Asaf. Vayhalu ad the Simcha. And it was Asaf composed the different compositions that were made by Asaf. So they're using the words of David and the words of Asaf. Vayhalu, and they praised Hashem ad the Simcha until this is an expression which means until they reached a very high state of joy. Vayiktu vayishtachvu. Now we have another expression, not just Kriya, but we have kida, a different form of expression. So seemingly kida accompanies hoidah, whereas kriya accompanies shira. Different expressions of giving thanks to Hashem. Pasuk lamed aleph. Vayan yichizkiyo vayomer atonam mileisim yetchem l'Hashem. You have now accomplished, you have started. Rashi, and we'll see in the Mitzvah, says mileisim yetchem is an expression which means you have started. You have made a good start. Goshu, go close. V'hoviu zavachim v'sodas. Now I want people to bring forth voluntary sacrifices. We've brought the seven. We brought the four sets of seven, the oila and the chatos. Now I want people to offer private sacrifices. Of you zavachim v'sodas, bring zavachim and toilets lebeis Hashem, to the beis hamigdash. V'yoviu hakohol zavachim v'sodas. Everyone brought forth zavachim and sodas. V'chol nediv leiv oilas. Now, there are three different types of korbanos. So zevach is a korban shlomim. The advantage of a korban shlomim is you get to eat it. Most of the animal you get to eat. A toida also, not only do you eat it yourself, there's another advantage. Toida, there are 40 breads, and you have to invite a lot of people to participate. There's a greater degree of participation by a toida than there is by a korban shlomim. And the divlev oilois, oilod, you get nothing. It's completely burned on the mizbeach, and that's why it says only in the divlev. If you get something out of it, it's easier to do. If you're going to have a good lunch, a good meal, then it's not that hard to bring a carbon to Hashem. But if you're not going to get anything out of it, the entire animal is going to be burned on the mizbeach, that is a bit more difficult. And that's why only in the divlev are willing to go forth and bring the oil of burnt offerings. Pasuk lamed aleph, balma beis. Now, how many korbanos were brought in? That's it. It's very frightening. A very small amount of animals. It was obviously a very small. What? Oil. So it's very frightening. Only a very small number of people actually came forth to bring korban oilos. The elimeya rams were the number of oilos were 100 kivasim or 200 kivasim. La oila la Hashem kol oila. All of these were these two different sets of korbanos was the total amount of korbanos that were brought by the tzibor, which appears to be very small. Obviously, there were not that many people that came forward at this point in time. We're going to see the next parak. There were not that many people that came forward at this point in time to bring korbanos to Hashem. Ochos has inflicted upon Klal Yisrael enormous damage, where the people were not yet ready to come and bring sacrifices to Hashem. Pasuk lamed gimel v'hakodashim. Kodashim is called the shlamim. Okay, those were the oilas. Now we come with the carbon kachem kalim, which can be eaten by the owners. Bokar sheish neos, 600. Vitzon shaloshes alofim, 3,000. Rak, now the problem was, we have here all of these carbonos, 3,000 carbon, 3,600 of shlamim. And all of these karbanos need to, there's a process of how they're offered on the mizbech, which you need koyhanim, many koyhanim to do mikabol ve'elech. Shchid can be done by Yisrael, but kabbalah ha'ilacha and shrika must be done by koyhanim. The problem was, since this was right after Yechizkiel came to power, and most people were still ovdei avodah zarah, there was a very great shortage of koyhanim. So it says, racha koyhanim.
This was on the 16th?
Yes. This was on the 16th day, not Pesach, of Adar Sheni. 16th day of Adar Sheni. The Rabbanu were not happy with the Bogunis. It's much more clear in the next parak that this took place in Chodesh Adar. And it was right after he came to power, only 16 days after he came to power.
So this was like Purim.
This was correct. This was yes. It had this. This was a day after Shushan Purim, but only was about 300 years before Purim happened. Okay, there was no Hamantashen yet in the bakery, but. Okay, whatever, but Varaka Kainim Hoyu Lamadi was a shortage of Kohanim Velo Yachlu, and they were not able, Lahavshiris Kol Oilos, they were unable, so he was going back to the Oilos. Even the small number of Oilos, the Shivim Eilim, and the Mosaim Kvasim, even though the small amount of Bakar, Shivim Eilim, Mea, Kvasim, Mosaim, 370, there were 370 Oilos, there were not enough Kohanim to work to prepare the Oilos on the Mizbeach. Raka Kohanim Hoyu Lamadi, they were unable to skin all the olos. So they were strengthened by the brethren, the Levim, ad kilois hamalacha. So the Levim, they was a hirasha. They assisted. They went into the Beis Hamikdash and they worked the Beis Hamitbuchos, the place where they flayed the animals, and they made all the preparations ad kilos hamalacha until they finished offering the 370 oilos via the skatshu hakohanim. And this process of having levim do work that was really meant for kohanim was done until yiskatshu hakohanim, until the kohanim came out of hiding. They came out of hiding and they cleansed themselves. They went to mikvah and they were mitar themselves and they were trained to do the avoy. Because of the damage, ki halavim. Now the question is, how come there was so many levim? We know that during the time of the Bayesheni, it was just the opposite. There was a very great shortage of levim. How come here there was a surplus of levim and a shortage of kohanim? Because the answer is that at this point in time, during the time of the Bayis Rishon, ki halavim yishrei levav, the levim were upright in heart. They were tzaddikim. By and large, the levim were tzaddikim. They're the ones who guarded and kept the Shomer Torah mitzvos during the time of Achaz, at least in hiding. And now when Achaz was removed, there were only Levim that were available and there was a shortage of Kohanim.
We had this earlier that the Levim who were in Israel left Ari Miklub and came to...
The Levim that were...
In Yisrael left their towns and came to Yehuda.
They came also, right? They also came...
It was a migration
of Levim. The Levim were very big, had a reputation being tzaddikim, levav l'skadesh, l'hiskadesh meha koyhanim, more so to sanctify themselves more than the koyhanim. That's why they were available. V'gam oylo l'roi b'chev l'hashlamim, v'nachosim l'oylo, and there was also an abundance of Olah l'rov, an abundance of Olah, b'chel v'hashlamim, among the fats of the shlamim, uvanachasim la'olah, and all of the nachasim, which uvanasachim la'olah, the nasachim, the wine that accompanied the olah, and all of this was done, was prepared, it seems, by the levim. Va'tikoin avoidas beis Hashem, and at this point in time, the mikdash was established. Pasuk lamed vav. Vayismach Yechizkiyahu. Okay, he's only been in office for 16 days, or a little bit more, maybe the whole month, because after the 16 days they put oilos, and it says there was an abundance of oilos and keteris and the sachim we just said. So he's only been in office for 1 month, and after 1 month he reached a level of extreme joy. Vayismach Yechizkiyahu v'chol am al ha'hechin ho'elokim la'am, on this that Hashem had prepared the people for to restore the service of the Beis Hamikdash, ki bepisayim hoyo hadavar. This matter happened suddenly. Okay, we're going to discuss this in more detail in a moment, but let's go back. This happened very quickly, very suddenly, and they basically had great joy that they were very quickly able to restore the service of the Beis Hamikdash and restore the avod of the Kohanim and the Levim. Now let's take a look at the Mitzudos and Rashi for these series of Sukkim Pasuk Chavav in the Mitzudos. There is no chavav. So let's start pasuk of Zayin. Hechel ha'ayla, ha'aloi sa'ayla. Chizkiyo put the kohanim and the levim in position to bring the 28 korbanos. When they began to offer the oilos, ha'aloi sa'ayla al yidei, they began to sing al yidei chayzer al hashir, refers back to the song that was mentioned in the previous psukim. Loima shashir hoya al yidei kli hashir shas David. The shir was accompanied by the musical instruments that were made by David. Pasuk of Ches v'hashir mish. The song was sung alidei bale hashir through the choir and through the musicians. Hakol lepasku hamishoyim levitoyke hachatzitzros ad shagamu ha'alos oila. The musicians, the choir, and the trumpet players did not stop until the oila was consumed on the mizbeach.
So this was a very long process because they had to get the levim to assist. And you had
370. No. This goes back. These should go back on the 28 korbanos or the 21, the first set. 21. So it wasn't such a long process, unless it took a very long time for the meat to burn. We know that in time of Bayis Rishon, there's different amounts of time, depending on the kedusha of the fire. If it was a special Esh Menas Shemayim, the animals burned very quickly. If it was a more mundane type of fire, then it took longer for the animals to burn. So
it didn't need that because this is.
The part of the mizbech doesn't need to mamish burn. Okay, it could be. Okay, it could be. Just to put on the mizbech in a chanami.
When there's a
carbon
shlamim, one of those things that the people eat, what do? They bring it up to mizbech and you tell the kind you want it rare or medium?
The kosher kashim, what the kohanim eat. No, so yeah, that's right. The kohanim can eat it any way they want.
They don't
the whole, no, not on the mizbeach. Just the fats. The oil law is completely burnt on the mizbeach. Kodshei kadoshim, a carbon chatas, a carbon osham is eaten by the kohanim. And that's right, they can eat it any way they want.
But they take it off the mizbeach.
No, it's never brought. The only thing that's brought to the mizbeach are the fats. Are the chalef, the fats are brought. And
so they have like a barbecue.
Right, and the vast majority, 95% of the animal is not brought to the mizbeach. And that remains in the base mitzvah chayim, and it goes to the kohanim, and it's distributed to all the kohanim. Well, it depends, different opinions of that day, of that mishmar. And that's right, they can eat any way they want. They can eat it rare, they can eat it well done, and they can have condiments. And however, lemoshkan, it's even a state of dignity.
We spoke.
Yeah. They had tables. Lemoshkan.
There were some barbecues, but said they wanted to do something.
Yeah, that's right. They could be eaten in correct. Okay, pasuk chavav yamdu alavim b'chol yadav. Okay, back to the sudos pasuk lamed b'divrei David behilulim sha'asa David Asaf. What were the songs that they sang? Those special compositions that were composed by David and Asaf. Adlas Simcha, this is an unusual expression. They sung and they performed until they reached a degree of Simcha. If you translate the words literally, it doesn't make sense. Adlas Simcha, so Mitzudas explains, Meirov Hadveikos El Hamako Baruch Hu, due to the connection they felt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point in time, Shayeluchem Be'esai Hilul Bohu El HaSimcha, that elevated them to a state of joy. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Milei Sem Yedchen. Yechizkiyahu says, he gives a speech, he addresses the Kohanim, and he says, you have now succeeded in being Meleisem Yetchem, you filled up your hands. This is an expression which means it's a new beginning. We have now reached the moment of new beginning. Haschola, Meleisem Yetchem means the beginning. Hadavar, Hascholas Hadavar, V'chinuchoi, and its inauguration, Nikra is called Milu Yadayim, Kemo Umileso Yad Aaron. Aaron shall be inaugurated. He shall fill up his hand. It means he shall be introduced to the service. V'ratzaloimar V'hinei Ad Ata. Until now, these last couple of years, this last couple, who knows how long, time of Ochaz Chadalte Miavodas Abraham Malkom Baruch Hu V'ata. Now Haschaltem La'avdo. You have begun to do the service. So David Yechizkiel is viewing himself now as a new beginning. We turn over a new leaf, it's a new start. Zvachim, after they brought these 28 special korbanos chayrasha, or this iri avodas kachavim, and the korbanos oila for the tzibur, that was an adava, whatever it was, now individuals came forward to bring private sacrifices to Hashem. There were 370 oilois, and Zvachim, and there was also, then it was Zvachim, Shlom, the Toidos, Shalmei Toidah, people brought Karbonos Toidah, Karbonos of Thanksgiving, Nidiv Lev, but there were only a small amount of oilas, 370 Nidiv Lev, Lefisha Oila Kula Kolil, since the oil is completely burnt to Hashem, the Ein Lebalei and Bohem Klum, the owners get nothing out of it, Lechein Kore Lemeveim Nidiv Lev, that's what we call the people who bring, we call Nidiv Lev, Lamed Deis, Kol Eile, Hayu Oilos, V'Amal Tosefes Bey, all of these were oilos, and it's repetition to explain the pasuk. All of the animals that it's mentioned in the beginning, were the bakar and the elim and the kvasim were oilos. Pasuk lamed gimel. Then, in addition to the oilos, there were kvasim. There were kadashim. Shaar hakadashim v'hayu shlamim v'taydos. All the other animals mentioned pasuk lamed gimel bakar sheish meos v'tzon shlosh alafim. So we have 3,600 were shlamim, and that's why they're called kadashim. Kadashim means that the ba'olim have they are the shlamim and the taydos. Pasuk lamed aleph vayichaskim ratzolayim ahoyu mesayim lohem. There was a shortage of kohanim, and they needed to be supplemented by with levim. Hamalacha malachas hafshit. What malacha do they do? The only thing a levi can do is to flay the animal. They're not allowed to do the zrika and the hoylacha and the kabbalah, but at least they can prepare the meat. The ad yiskatshu hakohanim ratzolayim v'chein b'chol pam ahoyu mesayim lohem. This took place for a period of time. The levim entered the mikdash, and they took positions in the Beis Mikdash Chaim to prepare the meat of the animal. Ad asher niskatshu hakoyhanim liyostai bohem l'chalos hamalacha, until there were enough koyhanim entered into the service. Why? Why were there more levim than koyhanim? Simply because the levim were tzaddikim. The levim were yishrei levav. Ki levim ha yishrei levav. Him ha yishrei levav l'mahar l'kadosh atzma yosim l'koyhanim asher nisatzu b'davar. The koyhanim were lazy. Pasuk. Lamed hey, v'gam oyla l'roiv. What does that mean? Pasuk lamed hey, rotz lema lezeh ha'yutzrichim halavim l'sayeh es hakoyhanim ki hamolocha hoy semeruba. There was a lot to do. Ki ikvivu gam oylos merubos, because people from this point and onward until things settle down, they brought an enormous amount of oylos im chelve hashlamim with the fats of the carbon shlamim v'im hanesachim l'oyla, which were also with the wine to accompany the oyla v'lo yochlo hakoyhanim l'hakiv kol eilu l'havshitam. The koyhanim were unable to make all the preparations. That the pasuk goes on to say that they had rejoiced because the batikoin avodas, it was established. Ki halevim siu beavodas hefshet. The reason why they were able to reestablish the avoda was because of the levim. Then the last pasuk says that
they spent their time cleaning up, but they didn't have any practice
in doing this. They were very quickly trained. It was a speed course.
Everyone was
a special time. They had to be.
Liam had schools.
Yeah.
Because a lady didn't start that fight until 30.
Yeah, but they learned different things.
They had schools.
They had a system in place.
Practical experience. They did in the class.
I don't know. We don't know exactly how things work. Okay, all right, I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Pasul amav alahechin. They rejoice. Alahechin. Allah shehechin elokim lo am liyois hakol besidur nifla. Look what exactly was the joy. The joy was they experienced an enormous degree of siyata d'shmaya. Success was beyond anyone's wildest expectations. How could it be that you're going from a period of time where the Beis HaMikdash is closed for business, the doors are locked, and inside the place is thoroughly contaminated with every conceivable type of Avodah Zarah, and here within 16 days they're going to clean out the whole Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to have koyhanim that know what to do, like talk about today. I remember when I was a little child, I went to Eretz Yisrael the first time, and they took us to one of these places where they said that these people here, they are preparing the Big Day Kohuna. Today they have these organizations. They have the Big Day Kohuna, and they have the Klei Kodesh. When Mashiach comes, everything's ready to go. They'll be able to put everything in position, and they have the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, I was nishtoimim. The Chavetz Chaim was also very concerned about this. He was felt that Mashiach come any moment, and they're going to be their Kohanim. The Kohanim, they don't know the halacha. There's ignorance. No one knows how to bring. So that's why the Kohanim was the one that started to learn the Kodshim, that people should learn Kodshim. They should know all the laws of Pigel, Noiser, Tameh. So when Mashiach comes, we'll be prepared. So here they were not prepared. They were living in a generation of ochas. They had nothing. And here in 15 days, they cleansed the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim were trained, and they knew exactly what to do. This was beyond anyone's wildest expectation. That's why they experienced extreme joy. It was done very quickly. Let me just elaborate upon this concept of Pisaim, that we know that Mashiach, Hazal say, Mashiach only comes Behesach Hadas. Mashiach will come when you least expect it. That's what Chazal say. And that's really what's happening over here. What?
Bracha also is Samui Min Ayin, right?
Dover Ain Bracha Matsui, Elim Dover Hasama Min Ayin. Okay, but I think it's a different concept of Mashiach comes Behesach Hadas. Without at a point in time when you think, forget it, when you least expect that, that's really what's happening over here. What's happening over here is there is a degree of Mashiach coming. Who's the Mashiach? Chizkiyahu. They're living here, there's a Beis HaMikdash. But practically speaking, the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist. It's shut. Can you imagine? Doors are locked. Avodah Zarah doesn't exist. Who would imagine, even if Ochaz would die, who would imagine they'll have a son? The son's not going to be much better than the father. And within 15 days, to clean the Beis HaMikdash, to bring korbanos, and the Kohanim know what to do, and they're going to sing Shira, and there's going to be Halal and Haidah. The whole event here that's happening was a dogma on a smaller scale of Bias HaMashiach. Chizkiyahu was supposed to be Mashiach. He was meant to take this that happened here in this short period of time and expand upon it and bring the ultimate Mashiach for the world, for the Klal Yisrael, for the entire world. But this, to a certain degree, was a microcosm of Bias HaMashiach, and that's why it was expressed bepisayim. It happened in a state of suddenness. Ein ben David ba ella behesach hadas. It's an interesting drush I once came across. We have in the Torah the word pisam twice. We have it in Parsha Shlach, when Hashem appears to Moshe, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe pisam. Pisam. And there it was a limud musar to Miriam and Aaron. And Hashem said, go call Miriam and Aaron, I want to speak to them. Miriam and Aaron, we had tainus and Moshe, why were you poirish from your wife? He was poirish from Tzipora. So Moshe said, I have no choice. Since Hashem speaks to me at any moment in time, I have to be in a constant state of readiness. If I'm with my wife, then I'm going to be tummy. I'm not going to be able to be ready for Hashem. So they were not pleased with this. Aaron and Miriam, and they spoke Lashon Hara. And Miriam spoke Lashon Hara on Moshe. So Hashem wanted to defend Moshe. So Hashem spoke to Moshe Pisom suddenly and told him, get me Aaron and Miriam. And Aaron and Miriam couldn't come, they were Tameh. They couldn't come, they had to make preparations in order to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And at that point in time they realized that Moshe was right.
Moshe was the Levi and Aaron was the Kohen.
Moshe was the Levi, and therefore Moshe Yishrei Levav.
No, just like Ovechkin.
Okay, Moshe was Yishrei Levav, and Aaron was, okay. But at that point in time, they recognized, Aaron and Miriam recognized that indeed Moshe was right, since Moshe represents Klal Yisrael, he has to be in a state of readiness. We see what it's like. They had a first-hand experience what it's like where there's an emergency, where there's an alarm, and we're not ready. We're caught off guard. And they realized that Moshe indeed was right. Okay, but the pasuk says Deva Yom Hashem Moshe Pisom. We have another time where it says Pisom by a nazir. If a nazir becomes tamei, if a mace v'chiyipol mace olav bepesa pisom. If a nazir becomes tamei, because a mace, a dead body, a corpse, is fallen upon him suddenly. Now the question is, why is it by the Nazir does it use a double expression, bepesa pisaim, a suddenness of suddenness, whereas by the Moshe coming in contact with Hashem, it says pisom, it says sudden. So this Bali Musa learned a very powerful Musa. In life, all major things in life happen suddenly. You can't prepare yourself. You can't prepare yourself for disaster. And you can't prepare yourself for good news. Suddenly you hear good news, shocking good news. Someone called me up last week and he told me, are you sitting or standing? So I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock your pants off. And he told me that a certain person got engaged. The person got engaged, very difficult, a shidduch situation. And like, wow. The Pesah But Pesach is a Sarit. Unfortunately, we all know good and well, unfortunately, Rachman al-Tzlan, Hashem Yirachim, tragedy happens, but Pesach Pesach, suddenly, World Trade Center, who would imagine, right? All of a sudden, like, what? Things happen. Yet, what's frightening is, the Pesach bad news is even more sudden than good news. V'chiyipol meis alav b'pesa pisam. A dead body falls upon a nazir. A nazir is a holy person. He's trying to be tar, not to come in contact with the dead. And out of nowhere, a dead body falls from the sky. Yipol meis b'pesa pisam. Suddenly. A double expression of suddenness. Tumah. But good news happens also. But it's only the pisam. And the Musa Haskell, the person has to be on guard. Now, I told you good news and bad news, but the truth is it's not really a matter of good and bad, it's a matter of tahara, purity, and tumah, contamination. A person has to be more on guard to protect himself from coming in contact with tumah, being in the wrong place at the wrong time and doing the wrong thing. Then he has to protect himself about situations where he'll merit siyata d'shmaya for good things. Because for tumah, what happened? The pesah pesam. Double expression. For good, for tahara, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to a human being and speaks to him and injects him with kedusha, there it says only one expression, the pesam, suddenly.
The Maisa of Moshe was not a rejoicing
thing. The Maisa of Moshe, but whenever Hashem speaks to you, that's joyous. Hashem spoke to Moshe.
But he's telling them to go get the other two. Okay,
we'll go get them, but it's still Hashras Hashchina. Not tell them off. It's to teach them. It's Torah. Moshe is Torah Tzivulon Moshe. It's instruction. It's not a bad thing.
It's a father hits a child.
The fact is that Hashem spoke to Moshe Pisom. It was a degree of Kedusha. You're coming in contact with the Shechina is always a good thing. And there it's described as Pisom. Suddenly here it's the same exact thing. And the idea over here, just to review, is Ein Mashiach Bedaba El Behesach Hadas. This was an example of Hesach Hadas. A moment of Mashiach, the least expected, something like this could happen, it suddenly happened. And if now we have to take Musar, you never know. Mashiach can come. Can you imagine? Tomorrow you wake up, Mashiach is here, what would you do?
Do we have class?
What? I don't know. But look at this time period. Try to imagine. What would happen if tomorrow you wake up and they say Mashiach came? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? On the radio, Mashiach is here. What? No, I'm not a Levi. It could happen. It could happen. It says here in the pasuk, it was pisaim. It happened suddenly. Keep the pisaim haya hadavar. The restoration of the Beis Hamikdash happened in the state of suddenness. Now let's see some of the Rashi. Pasuk Chavav and Rashi. V'ha'koinim b'chatzaitzrois k'kosov b'nei'ar n'akoinim y'siyisku b'chatzaitzrois t'kaihanim are the ones who blow the trumpets. The Levim sing, the Levim play musical instruments, but the trumpets are given only to the Kohanim to blow. Lamed. L'halel l'Hashem divrei David zehoidu l'Hashem. Now here's fasting. Again, another reincarnation. What exactly did they sing? They sang hoidu. L'hoidois. After they sang the Shiron Pasuk Lamed, it says, Yechizkiel told the son of Levim now to do l'halel l'Hashem, to give halel. What's the halel? So he goes back to Perek Tezayin, Gevir Hayom Aleph, Perek Tezayin. That's what we discussed 2 days ago. Hoidu l'Hashem. That David, they sang the Shir of Hoidu. This is what David HaMelech sang every day for 43 years in front of the Aron, in the Ohel David, during those 43 years. Hoidu LaHashem. Why did David sing? Because here the Aron was being brought into the place where there will be the permanent resting place. In other words, when the Aron was transferred from the house of Ovid Edom to Ir David, to the oil David, which is in the vicinity of L'shichnoi Siddushu Uvasa Shama, the permanent resting place of HaLamakam HaShuas HaShchina, David now took those two mizmorim and he sang it before the Aron. He instituted that it should be sung before the Aron every single day for the next 43 years. Chizkiyahu now is viewing himself as a reincarnation of David. it's as if there is no Beis HaMikdash because of the sins of his father Ochas, and now he's cleaning the Beis HaMikdash, he's once again bringing the Kedusha into this Makom, and again we're going to reenact that whole process by singing the same Shira of Hoidu Lashem, the Mizmar, in the Mizmar, what it says there back in Perek Tez Zayin. Next Rashi. David, at that point, he sang Lahoidas to Hoidu Lashem. Kirbishmoti Vaman Losaf. Pasik Lamad Allah. Ayav Yakahol Zacham is Hoidas. Dover Hamutu Labaolim Achila. The people brought Zvachim and Toidas, things which is mutu for consumption. Kitsas Mehem. Kitsat. Only a few people brought oilas because it's expensive and you get nothing in return. You don't get a lunch. In addition to those people brought kadashim, what are kadashim? Kadashim kalim. Zvachim, shlamim, ma shahaba olim, nene mehem. They brought a total of 3,600. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Rak haKohanim hayu lamat. There was a shortage of Kohanim. Kiloima oisam shegdishu hayu adayin lamat. Those that sanctified themselves, who went to mikvah, who metar themselves, were trained what to do, were few in number. Vaychaskeim acheihem halevim, and therefore they were supplemented by their brethren the Levim. Ad kalois hamalacha, until they finish all of these special sacrifices on this day. The ad yiskachu hakohanim, until the kohanim were prepared, until the kohanim cleansed themselves.
The Vim
Choymar.
Yeah.
Stepped
down and ran over.
Wasn't enough, it seems. Even if they would step down, it was not sufficient. Vim Choymar heich yiskachu halavim v'lo yiskachu hakohanim. How could it possibly be that the levim were ready, not the kohanim? Farish lefi kiay levim yishrei levav. The answer is because the levim were yishrei levav. They were upright in heart. Liskadesh mehakohanim. The yashu libam halavim liskadesh. Yoyser mehakohanim. V'yakohanim halavim v'chol yivay Hashem mischapshin. And why is this so? So he explains because they were in hiding. Ochaz wanted to wipe out all of the tzaddikim, so the people that were Yishrei Levav were in hiding. Umisnakrim, they were Maranos. They made believe they were Goyim. They made believe, I'm not religious, I'm not observant, because if you were caught to be an observant Jew, Ochaz would kill you. V'yaf misatrim, kol yimei hamalachim harishon, they hid themselves during the days of the evil kings. Uchshabach iskiyo, kishoye tzadik, lo hoyu yucholim yod, it's not so easy to come out of hiding so quickly. Laskadish latarish azeh b'shanu v'shanu hoyo hoyo l'moch, because this whole event took place in the first year of Ismalchus. V'yu boim umiskashim al yidei al yad. Kidachsiv, and here he brings a pasuk in Mishlei, Ba'aloit Tzadikim Rabba Teferes. When Tzadikim rejoice, there is great splendor. Uvikum Rishoim, and when the wicked rise up, Yechupesh Adam, man hides. In other words, that during the time of the wicked Rishoim, when Ochaz and his followers were in power, then the tzaddikim went into hiding. But when the tzaddikim rejoiced, meaning when Yechizkiyo came to power, then the tzaddikim, they come out of hiding and they rejoice. Another pasuk says, "B'kum Hashem yisater Adam." When a wicked man rises up, man has to hide. Uve Avdam, and when they are destroyed, Yirbu tzaddikim. Kolayma b'kum Rasha Ochaz. When Ochaz came to power, yisater Adam, man had to hide. Uve Avdam, and when Ochaz was destroyed, Yirbu tzaddikim. Chizkiyo v'siyos refers to Chizkiyo. Okay, pasuk la'mevav alahichan elokim la'am. The people rejoiced that Hashem prepared the people of the Ulasas with son of Dugma Udulamata, called Lavava Hechen Lidresh, their hearts were prepared to seek at Hashem, the Gam Samchu ki Pisoim Hoya Hadover Aleim Bishana Bishana Lamocho, Lashiv Lashem Bishavim Yad, that this happened suddenly and it brought them great joy. There's one very interesting medrash. We talked about over here the cleansing of the Beis HaMikdash. It says here, what did they find when they were cleaning out the Beis HaMikdash from all the forms of Odeh Zarah? They found underneath the Beis HaMikdash the skull, the Golgoyles, of Aravna Hayavusi. Who was Aravna? Aravna was the one who sold the property to David HaMelech. Now the truth is, this is not the first time that his skull was found there. His skull was found there in Medrash when David bought it. Now it can't then mean it's his skull, because if he's alive, it can't mean that his skull is there. So it has to mean that his ancestor, his father, his grandfather, when David HaMelech purchased the land, when they began to prepare the land, they found this skull. And the third time his skull was found was during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the time of Nehemiah. When Ezra and Nehemiah, they came to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, and they were doing excavations to get things ready to go. Again, they found the skull of Aravna Hayavusi. So obviously, can't mean that. It doesn't mean they already cleaned it out. What happened? So there's much discussion. Rabbi Eisenman in his parish explains. That's a very good point. How do they know? So maybe there were telltale signs of some matzeva. Good point. So someone will learn al derech pshat. What it means is that right next to this field, threshing floor that was meant for the Beis Hamikdash was a cemetery. It was belonged to Ravna Hayavusi. It was a private cemetery, and the private cemetery along the side there was a cemetery of all of his ancestors. And over time, deep down, the walls, these caves and cavities, the walls collapsed, crumbled, and the skulls, or the bones, maybe due to an earthquake or due to some natural disaster, because we know there was an earthquake during the time of Yosab. Azariah. During the time of Azariah, when he offered Keteris, there was a massive earthquake. The earth shook at different points in time. It could be that these skulls that were in the adjacent cemetery to the Aravna of the threshing floor, it rolled into the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's one mahalach, and that's a legitimate mahalach. Things were nearby, and under the caves and tunnels, and things rolled in, and the skull of a Yavusi, of one of the seven nations of Canaan, it's not metamim in HaTorah, but it certainly does have a degree of tumah, and it contaminated the land. That is al derech pshat. However, he does present another approach that it doesn't mean mamish, the skull mamish. It means the land was under the influence of the Canaanim, the Yavusi. When they came to cleanse the Beis HaMikdash, they sensed a certain resistance in that the environment, the culture of the land, of Yerushalayim, had been taken over again by the Canaanim. And it wasn't just a matter of taking out all the graffiti from the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. The whole climate of society, you walk in the street, who's hanging out in the street? The Canaanim, the Yavusim, now they're behaving themselves because we have sovereignty, we're in control. But their culture has had an ashpa, permeated the Yerushalayim.
Tight pants and colored socks.
You get the idea. Okay, he's giving an extreme example. The style, the culture of the time was accepted by Klal Yisrael. And this was considered to be a very great degree of contamination. It's not something you can touch. It's not physical. Graffiti, you can just come in and scrape it off, bring in the right chemicals and remove it or scrape it, and you'll get rid of all the graffiti, all the avodah zarah. But if the climate of society is such that you tolerate things which are foreign to Hashem's hashkafa, that is a much greater problem. That's considered a tumah, which you have to eradicate from the very start. And that's what the Medrash says. Where is this Medrash? I don't have it in front of me. I thought it was a Rashi. Maybe it was a Radak. I saw this in a Rashi. Maybe in the next parak. Okay, I don't know. Maybe we'll come across a Belina there.
But it must have been a schus for
a Ravna?
Yeah.
Why? We don't consider it a schus. We consider it that he was a great problem. His skull keeps on reappearing. It reappears three times in history. The time of David, the time of Chizkiyahu, and the time of Nehemiah. That's also very significant, because when you take these, that means that we understand the Bayis Sheni. Wow, you're building the Bayis Sheni. That's a real new start. David HaMelech, building the Beis HaMikdash. That's, you know, ground zero. That's the beginning. Now that the Medrash also says they found the skull of Aravna Hayavusi at the time of Chizkiyahu, when they went and they cleaned the Beis HaMikdash, that shows us the cleansing of the Mikdash by Chizkiyahu was a new start. It's like you're building a brand new Beis HaMikdash. We're cleaning out the tumah of the land. It's not just, we're just cleaning up and we're continuing where we left off. It's a brand new Haschala. Yechizkiyahu is a reincarnation of David, and we're building the Beis HaMikdash for the very first time. That's the deeper meaning of this medrash, of connecting the three skulls of Aravna together. Okay, now let's begin the next parak, a few psukim of the next parak. Perik Lamed. Perik Lamed begins. Vayishlach Yechizkiyahu al kol Yisrael v'Yehuda. He sent out messengers to Yisrael v'chol Yehuda v'gam igrois kosaf. He all sent letters. Al Ephraim u'Menashe lovo leves Hashem Yisrael to come to Beis Hashem Yisraelayim lasos Pesach to make a carbon Pesach l'Hashem l'kei Yisrael. So to Yehuda and Yisrael, it was only necessary to send, let's say, a messenger, an oral messenger. But when it came to Ephraim and Menashe, that was not sufficient. You had to send letters. Seemingly, they were too far away. There's something that's, they're mindless. People, I once had an argument with a Moicher Svarim. He told me, there are people who write books. They just write. They write whatever they want to write, and they get it published. They publish it themselves, or they get it at some prestigious university to publish the book. And then there are people who give speeches. They give lectures, they give classes, they're rabbonim, they give drashas, and they take their drashas and they put it into a sefer, and they publish the sefer. So my question is, which one is better? To buy a sefer from a person who actually presented his ideas in the front of an audience and then put it in writing, or to buy a sefer from a person that never presented it publicly, he has mechadish ideas, and he put it in writing. It's never been tested. So I try to argue with the lawyers that if he was willing, had the guts, this rabbi had the guts, to actually say these ideas in front of an audience and take the heat, take the criticism, he put himself out on the line.
He tested
it's tested.
They get the feedback and they change.
And they change, they make it better. So I said, to buy a sefer from someone that it was already said and put in print, that's a much higher madrega. It's been tested. But a person just writes. So this person said it's not necessarily true, because when you speak to an audience, you say what they want to hear. You say what they want to hear. When you're putting it in print, you say what you really want to say, what you really believe. It's a very interesting idea. So there's a mila going both ways, right? There's a mile of both ways. One is better. You can't, it all depends on your environment. It's very interesting that over here there are two different groups. With one group, also if you write a letter, no one's talking back to you. If you want to talk with chutzpah, you're going to hold back. You're going to say something with chutzpah, they're going to shoot you down. How dare you talk to us like that? You send a letter, so you're not facing them. You're not coming face to face. You have an opportunity to say it in a way that you cannot necessarily say it upon him. So that's the question. So it's interesting over here, just to take note that he's two different types of means of communication. He communicated to them through speech, through a messenger, and he communicated to them through a letter. Obviously, each one has a milah. Why to Yisrael Yehuda? That he was nearby, so maybe he went door to door. Chizkiyahu, you guy, he went door to door and he started making mass like that. These cars doing elections, everyone come out to vote. Is that what he did? And then when he came to those too far away, so there he had to go send some letters. But there are two different means of communication. Obviously, each one was more effective, or maybe was more practical for Yehuda and Yisrael versus sending letters to Ephraim and Menashe. But the message was one, the sender should all come to the Beis HaMikdash. Love the Beis Hashem Yishlam Lassos Pesach. They should come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Karban Pesach LaHashem Elokei Yisrael. To Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Now notice, let's see Pasuk based. Let's do to Pasuk Vayivo'atz HaMelech V'sarov V'cholakohol. They counseled. They debated the issue. Vayivo'atz means there was a debate. They debate among themselves, the king and his leaders, the cholakahol. Now notice it does not make any mention of the chachamim. Who are the sarav? Sometimes you can say the sarav are the Sanhedrin, the Talmidei chachamim. But over here, l'chayr chazal indicated that it's not so. It means his political advisors. And the assembly, b'yushalayim, la'asos ha-pesach, b'chodesh Hasheni, in the second month. Now, if you want to take this literally, it means when do they celebrate Pesach? In Chodesh Iyar. There's no such thing. What are you going to tell me? Pesach Sheni? Because if everyone is Tomei, if you're Tomei, B'derech HaChoyko, you can celebrate the Karm Pesach, Pesach Chodesh Iyar. That's not true. That's only a minority. An individual. If the majority of Klal Yisrael celebrates Pesach and Chodesh Rishon, then a minority, an individual, can bring a carbon Pesach Sheni. But if the majority of Klal Yisrael did not celebrate Pesach and Chodesh Rishon, then there's no such thing as bringing it to Pesach Sheni. So it can't possibly be that he's bringing it to Pesach Sheni. It's Shlei Kedin. So what then does it mean? It means is he decided we're going to be Ma'aber. This goes back to what we discussed in the last parak, and everyone says this. The Mitzuda says this, and the Radak says this, and the Rashi says this. Not here, somewhere else. It means B'chodesh Sheni means really according to Chazal it should be Chodesh Shir, but we're going to be Ma'aber the Shana, and the male we're going to make the last month Adar Sheni. So now everyone says this idea, and this goes back to what we learned before. This decision was made the first day he became king. This is not a new decision. It was made the first day because they needed time. Plus the gimel kilo yachlu lasos, basically they cannot make it in that time because it took already 16 days just to get ready. Ki hakol hadim lo iskanshu l'madai. This is an unusual expression. Dai sheomar li'alamoi dai shakai. Hashem said to the world, "Dai, it's enough," because the kohanim were not cleansed sufficiently. There was a shortage of kohanim for the Korban Pesach. The omloy nesu, the people did not assemble to Yerushalayim. Okay, so let's just read
what chodesh was this?
Iyar. This was chodesh. Would have been chodesh Iyar.
But he skipped the first chodesh.
That's what we just explained. That really, when he became king, it was meant to be chodesh Nisan. It would take 16 days to clean the Beis HaMikdash, and there would not be enough kohanim ready on time. So that means there was no way they can possibly bring the Korban Pesach on time. So what was the solution? The solution was that they should delay Pesach to the next month. How can you delay Pesach to the next month? The Chodesh Sheni is to make this current month Adar Sheni. Right? So if you make this Adar Sheni, then the second month is Nisan. So when it says Chodesh HaSheni, this means the de facto Chodesh, what would have been Chodesh Sheni, which would have been Iyar, we're now going to push it back to become Nisan.
It was Ma'avad of Chodesh, right?
Yeah.
So he made...
Oh, you weren't here yesterday, that's why. We went to yesterday. Yeah.
Nisan,
yeah.
He made it Adar, right?
Right.
The 12th month. So according to his Cheshbon, the first month would be what? Nisan?
Nisan, right. But the first month of his Malchus was what? What was the first month of his Malchus?
According to his Cheshbon?
Adar Sheni. According to the new Cheshbon, it would be Adar Sheni, and the second month would be Nisan.
But did he want credit to have one that should have been his first year and his second year, the first month?
That's a nafka mina. If he would have succeeded, which he did succeed, being ma'aber of the shana, that means that Pesach takes place now in the second year of his malchus.
Which month?
The first month.
Which is Pesach.
Pesach.
Which is Nisan.
Pesach can only take place in the first month.
In Nisan?
No,
he did make it in Nisan.
According to his Cheshbon.
What do you mean according to his Cheshbon?
They were Ma'abed the Shana.
They were Ma'abed the Shana.
It was two others, right?
Two others, yes. Right.
Yes.
Okay, and the second year, now Nisan, right?
Yeah. Of course, the Pesach can only be celebrated in Nisan. According
to says Chodesh Hasheni.
It means...
What would have been Chodesh Sheni, right.
According to the other calculation.
Exactly.
So according to his calculation.
What would have been Chodesh Sheni is when we're going to celebrate Pesach. Oh, but the Torah says he can't do that. Oh, we'll take care of that. We'll fix that. The way we'll fix that is by making Nisan into Adar Sheni, and now the second month will be Nisan, because Pesach must be celebrated in Nisan. Okay, we'll have to do that. We're out of time, so I want to mention one other thing. Pesach. Why is he coming to focus on Pesach? So we'll discuss this tomorrow. Every time there was a new change in Klal Yisrael, a new bris, a bris is always accompanied by a Korban Pesach. In Tanakh, there are seven times we find that Klal Yisrael celebrated the Korban Pesach. Seven times there was a mention that Klal Yisrael got together and they offered a Korban Pesach. What do you mean only seven times? They offered Korban Pesach every single year. but it means when they offer, when the seven mentions of Pesach indicate it was a new beginning. And the reason why Pesach is used as a new beginning for the Tzibur, so I saw this, I don't remember where I saw this, is because with all Korbanos there's a concept called L'Reach Nicholach. When you bring a Korban, it's a sweet fragrance. Hashem has nachas ruach. By Korban Pesach is the only Korban where we don't have the expression a reach nicholach. Because the primary focus of the Korban Pesach is not for Hashem, it's for us. It's for it unifies, it brings Klal Yisrael together as one. Korban Pesach is according to one approach, what was the Korban Pesach? A seh, it could be a seh or a gedi, but Mishchu, it was the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim, and when Klal Yisrael brought the first Korban Pesach, they were rejecting Avodah Zorah and instead embracing Avodas Hashem. That's exactly what's happening over here. The reason why Chizkiyo viewed it so critical to bring Klal Yisrael together in the beginning of its Malchus by renewing the Korban Pesach, bring the entire Klal Yisrael together as one, to bring a massive Korban Pesach, is because he's coming in the aftermath, in the wake of his father Achaz, who is an Oyvid Avodah Zarah. He wants to follow Moshe Rabbeinu, reject Avodah Zarah, Mishchu Yideicha Min Avodah Zarah, V'shachatu HaPesach, and come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, embrace Kadosh Baruch Hu, and slaughter the Korban Pesach. That is what's happening. This is another renewal, a reenactment of what Klal Yisrael did at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yeah.
I don't understand though. He was able to bring all these other kabbonis in Nisan. Right? We learned before.
In Adar Sheni. Everything that we learned before was all. This is going back.
It was Nisan.
No. So we have to explain. We have to explain that this decision, he's asking a very good question, because it was Nisan. It was 6th day of Nisan, it was Pesach. And then later he decided we're going to go backwards and we're going to make the previous month. No. We have to understand, according to the way the Moshe Rabbeinu learned, that this decision, this that it says over here, we're going back in time.
So when he brought all the other.
It was Adar Sheni.
It
means Adar. It means in retrospect, right? The psukim are purposely vague and give you the wrong idea, because Chazal wanted to know that he was wrong in what he did. The Rabbanon were critical of Chizkiyahu that he did not have the legal right to do what he did. He did it. He succeeded. And he made an Adar Sheni. And he brought the Korban Pesach in Nisan.
Did they keep Pesach? Did they didn't eat chametz or anything?
No, this decision, no. This decision to make an Adar Sheni was made the first day, before the first day he became king. That means it was right away. We're going backwards in time. It's not in order. It's not in chronological order. When it says here in Perek Lamed, Vayishach Yitzchiskiyah, I'll call Yisrael Yehuda, and he sent letters, we want to make our own Pesach. And this took place on the first day of his Malchus, which was Aleph Nisan. It was now Aleph Nisan, the real Nisan. And I want to bring a Korban Pesach. I want everyone to come, but we're not going to have enough time. So he sends messengers. And he says, you know what? Let's make now today, not Aleph Nisan. So let's make it today, Aleph Adar Sheni. So it was done immediately, yeah.
The Malbim brings the Gemara Sanhedrin.
Right. Yeah.
And he says, in quotes, that he was Baber Chaydish Shaloi Midas Chachonim.
Right.
He could have written the letters and made the Sadr Bez and made the Kiddush HaChaydish. By the time the Rabbanim heard about it, it could have been hours later. It could have been already the second day.
What is it in the word? Shaloi Beratzon.
Shaloi Midas.
Shaloi Midas.
They didn't know. He sat down.
Yeah.
It was the Shaloi Midas first. He sat down with his Yoyatsin.
He didn't consult with them.
15 days is going to be Pesach. It doesn't work out for us. That's the purpose of Ebor. That's why Ebor left it out.
But you're not allowed to do this once it's already Nisan. The question, the Gemara...
But he did it the 30th day, and he said...
No, it was already from the Gemara, it's clear. It was already decided that today is Aleph Nisan. They sent all the calendars. All the institutions, the fundraisers, they all sent out the calendars that it's Aleph Nisan. And now, afterwards, Aleph Nisan, he says, no, it's Aleph Adar Sheni. That was the mistake. You're not allowed to do that. He succeeded. He forced it. He did it. Called Milsa Rechon Lo Yisav. The Ovid Mahani. It worked, but it was Shaloi Kedin.
What about Lamed Sfas? I want to say they didn't do it yet.
The Gemara says they did it. That's what the Gemara says. That's why that was the issue. Because if the, had he caught them, had he became king a day before, they would have agreed with him. There's no greater need to be ma'aber the chodesh, the shana, than this. Okay, we'll stop here.